Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, COVID-19 hit the world by storm in 2020, but 2021 has offered some reprieve with the rollout of vaccines across the globe. Now, while these vaccines have offered hope to many, there are also those that are watching closely with greed and malice. Those are vendors on the web that claim to be able to provide the vaccine for the right price, in some cases as low as $250. To find out more, we're joined today by Dr. Sharat Sina, Vice President and General Manager, Asia Pacific at Checkpoint Software Technologies. Dr. Sharat, can you tell us more about these vaccines that are being sold online?
Look, the posts on the darknet claim to have a range of coronavirus vaccines or coronavirus remedies for sale. Mm-hmm. And these have, particularly since November, many have started appearing. In fact, we have noticed over 1,000 posts on darknet. And all these vendors accept payments in Bitcoin, minimizing the chance of being traced. Mm. Essentially, you know, based on one of the contacts that we made, we found that the vaccines were available for about 0.01 Bitcoin. At that point of time, it was around $300. Mm-hmm. And it claimed that 14 doses were required. So obviously, wow. It was a fake website. And since then, price has actually increased to anywhere between $500 to $1,000.
And so can you tell us, I'm not that familiar with the dark web. Who has access to it? Can you give us a little bit more background?
So dark web, by definition is a place which is not fully regulated. It's hard to trace people there, but you could go, there are links which can be provided in normal web that could lead you to dark web.
Right.
And most of the time these sites will offer transactions on either WhatsApp or Telegram.
Mm.
And payments through Bitcoin, because once again, that cannot be traced as it does not fall under the legal financial transaction system in most of the countries. That's where it becomes available. They could reach you through a phishing email, which can have the subject related to, let's say, coronavirus vaccine or remedy. It has particularly been very active before most of the legal vaccines have become available. The language is changing since then.
And you mentioned you've seen a number of domains created. So if I were to go online and Google COVID-19 vaccine for sale and any site that comes up, that would be what you are referring to. Is that correct?
Not all would be, but majority of them are. And if you give a general search, you're likely to end up at one of them.
I see. Okay, so can you tell us a little bit more about what exactly is on sale? You've spoken about where it's on sale, how much is it for, and how large, I think, is a bigger question. How significant really is this issue?
So if you gave a general search, you would typically find somewhere around 400 results.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, one of the seller claims to have stock from a leading pharmaceutical company, a newly approved vaccine, which is available for sale in UK, US and Spain. And it is just one WhatsApp or Telegram away. There's another, a while ago, which claimed offering chloroquine as a regular coronavirus treatment, which was available only for $10 at that point of time. Because at one stage, hydroxychloroquine, medicine for malaria, that had been touted as a treatment for coronavirus. And this followed statements from the outgoing US Donald Trump. So those kind of have been available. They have been matching up to the news related to coronavirus vaccine as well. So as for example, Pfizer has come out with a vaccine, you'll find websites referring to that. There are ones related to AstraZeneca or Moderna as well.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the background of the report, the research? How do you investigate the dark web to better understand the current cyber threat landscape?
So for Checkpoint, particularly for Checkpoint research, in order to develop products and solutions to protect our customers, we constantly try to find out how they can be breached, so that we can find a solution to that. And in the process of doing it, one, we observe all the traffic that flows globally. between countries, between organizations. We also look at anomalies in traffic on what's happening. At the same time, when something like we see a pattern, for example, of let's say 1,062 websites suddenly appearing, we do some basic direct, you know, fundamental research to understand what's going on. For example, our researchers did order a vaccine from in a transaction conducted with, that was conducted using Telegram. So Telegram app, right? So for example, we got contact details and phone number through a darknet forum. So there are darknet forums that you can get access to, particularly if you know which links lead to it.
Mm-hmm.
The seller was contacted via the Telegram username, etc. That person had. That person offered, for example, a Chinese vaccine with the price tag of $750, as has been reported by Checkpoint Research.
Mm-hmm.
The payment was made using Bitcoin. And after making the payment and sending the address for delivery, the shipment details were asked. There was no answer from the seller for a few days. Following that, seller sent a message stating that, you know, vaccine had been shipped to that address. A few days later, the account was deleted. So this is one possibility. And actually, so basically the order never came and the money was lost. So the person was a scammer. In some cases, they might use such websites to actually insert malwares on your device.
Right.
So we do some fundamental research to trace, track down what is the modus operandi of these players. And then we find a solution to it, both in terms of process as well as in terms of technology.
And you spoke briefly about Bitcoin being used as the currency of choice for payment because of the lack of traceability. Can you tell us more about Bitcoin's role here, the role the cryptocurrency plays in such transactions online?
The use of cryptocurrency allows cyber criminals to remain anonymous, and that is why it is the preferred method of currency. In addition, you know, Bitcoin in many countries isn't subjected to compliance frameworks, like the way, for example, a legal currency is. The important thing to note here is that legitimate businesses do not use Bitcoins today.
Mm.
So it is easy to tell if you're dealing with a scammer.
We spoke briefly and you mentioned that as of November, I think the number was 1,062 new domains created using the word vaccine. You also mentioned email phishing scams in the report as well. Is there anything new or unique in the way that these cyber criminals are working on the back of COVID-19?
Look, these are primary means. So definitely malicious web domains. When you give a general search, it would lead to certain links, and many of them might be malicious web domains, so you may end up there. And we have seen surge of such new web domains related to COVID-19 vaccines being registered. In fact, as you rightly mentioned, 1,062 since the beginning of November, and those website numbers keep increasing every day. Some of these domains are malicious and suspicious. Obviously, some are, you know, appropriate as well.
So how do we know? How do we know, Dr. Sharat? How can we tell?
One is, you know, if it is related to a proper government website for information purpose, you could also look at how the transaction is being made. So most of the time, the private sellers are not allowed in most of the countries at this stage to offer these vaccines, because many have, you know, not gone through full trial, or some have gone through trial and there is a specified mechanism of administering them. And in most of the countries right now, it's being administered by government or government certified agencies. Second is mode of transaction. And best at this stage is to follow government's guideline in whichever country you're in, and go to right agencies to find out how it's being done. A website is not the best way to look for COVID-19 vaccine. Second, obviously, is through, you know, phishing emails that might reach people. And that is something which should strictly be avoided. So looking at, you know, where things are coming from and being careful about it is one thing. Most of the businesses should protect it by, first of all, educating their employees, you know, making sure that there is complete security protection to the, you know, equipments like, you know, mobile devices or endpoint devices that are being utilized by employees. It could also be making sure that you use prevention-based approach where you don't just let such phishing emails reach the employees.
We're speaking with Dr. Sharat Sinha, Vice President and General Manager at Asia Pacific at Checkpoint Software Technologies. So, Dr. Sharat, you've highlighted some ways that we can safeguard ourselves, but I want you to kind of go a little bit deeper with us because your report highlights that the pandemic developments will feature in this year's cyber threats. What does that mean for the cybersecurity landscape going forward? What should we be aware of? Beyond, as you mentioned, phishing and dubious sites when we're searching online.
Yeah. In 2021, as the, you know, COVID-19 is unfolding, it will still be impacting us for some time. And those impacts will change as the year progresses. So, you know, many of the businesses have moved to remote working, for example, and therefore organizations need to better secure their distributed networks because the threat surface has increased. Typically, what was an enterprise space within the office or connectivity to headquarters has now extended to people's homes or their remote working space, which means you have to try and go through the public network. So making sure that the home network is better protected and the connectivity is better protected becomes very, very critical for businesses to keep their applications and data protected. This also means enforcing an automated threat prevention across all points of network, the mobile devices that you use, the endpoints, IoT, or, you know, cloud-related security, etc., including your home's, you know, access network.
So what else should we look out for?
The news of vaccine development or new national restrictions will continue to be used, and therefore there will be some phishing campaigns that you could expect, which has, you know, happened in 2020 as well. Typically, these lead to, you know, malware, ransomware being installed on the device, which lead to other issues.
So from Checkpoint Software Technologies' perspective, how is this changing the way that you're working with clients, organizations to better safeguard them as a result of what's been happening on the wider landscape?
We have worked very closely with all the businesses that we work with and even potential prospects to make sure that their remote working environment is fully protected. And we take a holistic view of cybersecurity. So we make sure that right from endpoints, mobile devices, within the enterprises, beyond the perimeter of the enterprise, cloud security, making sure that all data, applications, employees, and their end devices are fully protected. We also provide solution to make it centrally monitored so that you can have full visibility into what's happening and you can protect them. The advantage we have is that being a global company, we can see a threat in one part of the world and make sure that quickly everywhere in the world it's protected. And apart from that, we are also educating heavily all our end users, our customers, to make sure that they're fully prepared and they can focus on their core business rather than worrying about security issues.
And so, as you've mentioned, COVID-19 has resulted in more people working from home, learning from home, and this has really opened up more gaps for potential cybersecurity threats. So, would you say that this has really expedited the shift in the cyber threat landscape?
I think this is going to leave a significant impact on the cyber threat landscape, because COVID-19 has expedited a few things. For example, remote working, remote learning, e-learning has got accelerated, including, you know, electronic shopping. So all these essentially mean that people are connecting and interacting more and more digitally than physically. As people have been made to become physically distant, they've become digitally close.
We've been speaking with Dr. Sharat Sinha, Vice President and GM for Asia Pacific at Checkpoint Software Technologies, right here on In the Spotlight on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.